Good morning. You've tuned into The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson, and I am not alone here in the studio, but Jim is absent today, my usual co-host. Fortunately, we have the great, the one and only, Carrie Logan. Okay.
Where's my drum roll?
Yeah. And Carrie Logan is sitting in for Jim on microphone number two. Also in the studio today, and this will be the focus of our morning, is Allie Baranski, who is the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint, which is coming up, believe it or not, kicks off within this calendar month. The festival Sandpoint gets started, so we are coming down to it. But before we talk about that, let's talk a little bit about how about the weather?
How about that weather?
Okay, here's your report. It is currently 66.4 degrees in the alley behind this radio studio. The high today is 82, and the forecast calls for sunny weather. That is, to my mind, a little bit more pleasant than the 90, or I think
it was yucky yesterday.
Yeah, that got
humid,
pretty hot.
Woof.
But 82 is the high today. Tonight, mostly clear and a low down to 53 degrees. Tomorrow, a high of 83, but there is a slight chance of showers on the 4th of July. How about that? About 20% chance of showers. Let me see here. Partly sunny. This is the forecast for Friday. Partly sunny. Calm wind becoming southwest in the afternoon. That sounds pretty pleasant to me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, 30% chance of showers, low of 54. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms, high of 78. And then that weather falls behind us, and we go for 83 and mostly sunny on Sunday. Then I believe it's going to get a little warm. Sunny with a high near 88 on Monday. Sunny with a high near 95 on Tuesday.
Mm.
Sunny with a high near 97 on Wednesday is the current forecast. Overnight lows in the 50s, and on Tuesday night, overnight lows 60 degrees. So even at night, not getting quite as chilly as we're used to.
As a kid, I grew up in Central California, and you know, 90 would have been almost balmy, but 100 plus day after day after day, and then 70s, 80s at nighttime.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound very pleasant.
No, it wasn't.
No. Okay. And that's why you live here.
I guess. Mosquitoes. No.
Yeah. I had mosquitoes, but pretty seldom over 100 degrees in Minnesota.
Is that right? Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, you get there, but yeah, for the most part, it doesn't get
that
hot.
Yeah.
But that's humid. So anything in the 80s feels, it's 80 degrees and up is like, this is too hot. I don't know. To be doing anything. Anyway.
And we all start whining at 85, 89. And then when it hits 90, oh my gosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we're spoiled.
Yes, we are.
Let's see here. Something's giving me some weird noise here in the studio. I think it's this microphone.
I don't hear it in the headphones.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's not going out over the air. Hopefully it's just me. Let's see. I'm guessing one of those could be this. Hold on. Ready? No, that's off. Okay. Well, we'll deal with it. Give us a call if you're hearing that noise and it bothers you. Quick programming note today, let's see, at 3 o'clock, of course, we do have CP at 3, which is the Cedar Post at 3 o'clock. That's hosted by students from Sandpoint High School. We have a guest DJ in the studio from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, leading in CP at 3. We gave him the coveted lead-in slot to Cedar Post at 3. Viggo Mortensen's going to be here.
I read about that.
Yeah, it's worth... it will be worth tuning in for that. I think he's picked out a very nice, eclectic set of songs, which will fit right in with the usual Autos Eclectic mix, and he's going to be here talking about it a little bit. So,
are you assisting on
I'll be and helping to engineer a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'll be standing by in case something goes haywire. But it should be mostly just him. It's his music and his show. for the most part. Yeah.
How did that come about?
His idea.
Cool.
I mean, the station and he have a relationship going back really to the very early days of the radio station. And I think we started talking about it during the movie that he came to present last fall, The Dead Don't Hurt. So that could be a fun one, a fun thing to do. And it seems perfect for a community radio station to have a prominent member of our community come in and play a little music. So there you go.
It's really nice. Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
I'm curious on what he's going to play.
Yeah.
This is where we say tune in and find out.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. What else? We could give a little traffic report. Traffic is light at this hour.
That's... and notably light at 7:45 on Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Like no traffic, which tells me that so much of it that comes in during the school year.
Yeah.
I mean, in other than summer, is school related.
I think so.
Yeah. Incredible.
It's, Pine Street is my corridor. Mm-hmm. And that's very busy in the summertime. And right now, very not busy during that 7 to 8 o'clock hour.
During the school year, you mean?
During the school year, it's very busy. But right now, it's not.
Right.
It's nice.
Right.
Of course, that traffic changes as the day wears on.
And, correct.
You know, gets very busy downtown, but no, not early in the morning. I don't know.
Stores should be happy this year because town seems to be pretty slammed.
It seems like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems busy. Everybody's coming to the lake. It's been so hot. Allie Baranski, how was your commute this morning? How'd you do?
It was lovely.
Okay.
I think.
Not too busy.
Yeah, I stopped at one stop sign, waited for one person. Got straight here. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Let's talk about the festival at Sandpoint. A little update on what's been going on, and what's coming up at the festival. Where do you want to begin? What's top of mind for you?
Well, since the last time I was here, we have announced an additional bonus concert to our 2025 summer series lineup, and that is the Community Night, which is Wednesday, July 30th. So Community Night, it is a $15 ticket after taxes and fees. It was really important for us to be able to add another one. We don't always add bonus shows. We try to kind of keep people on their toes, maybe give a matinee or a movie in concert. And this year we decided that we wanted to add kind of a really locals night that's very affordable. Part of the genesis of the idea was we're not as small as we used to be. We don't have as small and intimate shows, and that's, you know, really comes down to, like, it's just really expensive to stay at Memorial Field with the artificial turf and the decking. It's hard to put on small shows that are not supposed to cover the costs. And so the other thing that we've come across is with the larger shows and the larger tours, we don't get the privilege of booking the opening acts much anymore. Because a lot of them are on a tour with an opening act, or the agent wants someone from their roster to open, and the artist has control. That's like the theme that I try to educate a lot of people, is we don't have much control when it comes down to ticket price and openers and house music and all of the things. It was kind of a fun passion project for the team to say, like, do we have it in us? Because it's a lot to add another day in between the two main weekends, to be able to highlight local artists, make it affordable, and just kind of give that feeling of kind of,
it's a town thing.
Yeah. A more locals thing, and kind of an ode to like what it used to be. To feel like it's just more locals and highlighting and celebrating local artists.
I recognize a number of the names here. Of course, Harold's IGA, famously classic. Local. Yes. the Real McCoy, which is both McCoy brothers. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And others. Let's see here. I guess about. Yes. With Brian Drew and Darren Truitt and then Brendan McCoy plus Liam McCoy coming in on guitar number two for that evening. Let's see, Brittany's House, and then JoJo Dodge, who is who's new to me, actually. JoJo Dodge.
Yeah, they're both out of Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to be really promising up-and-coming artists. We wanted to, a lot of our fans come from Coeur d'Alene as well, so we wanted to make sure that we were kind of giving a bigger representation of our region. The other hope is like maybe we can do this again in the future, and so trying to diversify who we're pulling from instead of taking all of our, you know, talent and going through all of our Sandpoint talent in a few years.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was fun to kind of explore different artists in different regions. JoJo Dodge is very pleasant to listen to if you haven't looked her up on Spotify. And Brittany's House is a lot of fun. I actually saw them at a birthday party in the woods outside of Sandpoint once. And I was like, who are these people? So yeah, they're both really fun and exciting and really talented as well. So kind of hearing some of the local talent will also mean maybe being exposed to someone who's regionally talented.
Cool.
Well, I want to say I really appreciate you doing the local thing on the 30th. I just think that's fantastic, and it should be appeal to a lot of people if a lot of people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting the word out is probably a challenge.
Yes, getting the word out, and also that it is a $15 ticket.
Right.
I think some people just assume, oh, I don't know that person, or I don't know some of these bands. It's probably an expensive ticket, but we are able to control that. So yeah, $15 all in with taxes, fees, all of it. And our fees are pretty high with the city and just being at Memorial. So it's, I think, over half of that ticket price is the fees. So the ticket itself is really like $6 or something.
Huh. That Locals Night is on July 30th, which is Wednesday
which is evening,
kicking off the second week, right in the middle, Locals Night.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Community night.
Our food and food and beverages available that night too?
Yes. So everything will be open as usual. We will probably only have one of our two bars open just due to population. But yeah, so it'll be pretty similar. So you can bring the whole family for like a smaller festival experience. The other cool thing about the community night is we are doing some giveaways. So if you do purchase a ticket, you will be submitted into a drawing to either win a full season pass to the next season, which that's a big one. Gift card to Burger Dock, Panhandle Cone and Coffee. And then we also have an Evans Brothers package with a gift card and a steep and deep. Thank you.
Yes.
Steep and deep coffee. Thank you. From Evans Brothers. So yeah, there'll be some fun raffle packages. We're just trying to get the word out. We decided to do it a little late, and so we have a very short window to let people know and spread the word. So tell all your friends.
That will be a fun one. I think, and yeah, I think you'll get, it'll be fun to see the people who come out, particularly like kind of from Sandpoint, I would think. Not you know, people, maybe it'll be a lot of familiar faces in that crowd, I expect.
Yeah.
I want to real quick circle back to something you mentioned before. You're not able to control for the opening acts. is that a big change? Have you, like, is this something you've noticed in your time at the festival that you used to be able to, you know, to assign your opening act more than you do now?
Yeah. Well, when I first came in, it was right at the time that the artificial turf was put in, and we were doing a lot of financial analysis, and the just overhead to be there became extreme. Just to protect the turf alone is over $100,000 in that plastic flooring every year. So the first thing that we had to do was like, how do we cover our costs to continue to exist? And so with that, my strategy was you have to go bigger to mm-hmm. and take more risk to be able to cover it. So when you're bringing in bands like REO Speedwagon and Train, and mm-hmm. and also we very much try to get people on tour because they're more affordable that way.
Yeah.
It's their show. So they have complete control over who opens. Every once in a while, I'd say like maybe once or twice a season, we can't get them on tour. They're flying out. They first will try to book their own within their roster because agents want the artists on their roster to get as much playing time as possible. And if not, if like regionally, we're kind of hard to get to mm-hmm. Or it doesn't make sense financially. So then they'll come back and say, give us some suggestions, but they still have to approve it. Mm-hmm. So it'll go to the artist management and then the artist approves it. So, for example, this year we have Third Eye Blind for Sunday, and that it's a fly date. And so they asked us for suggestions. And so Snacks at Midnight is playing that night.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's if we do a really good job, we want all of them to be on tour because it's more affordable for us. Mm-hmm. And almost always they'll be touring with their own opening act. So yeah, they have, I think that's the biggest thing that I learned not knowing beforehand, just being a fan or a board member of the festival, was just, we don't have that much control. I mean, the music mm-hmm. that you hear when you walk in, the house music, that's their playlist. That's their sound engineers running it. They control the volume. They control pretty much everything. It's their ticket price. It's their show. And that's been, I think, the hardest transition in going to these bigger artists, is I think we had so much more control in the past. And so when fans or sponsors are like, you know, why are you doing it this way? We're like, well, that's not actually us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the artist, because it's their show. So yeah. We don't have as much control as most people think we do.
Yeah. That's interesting that you don't get to even control the house music that plays before the concert sometimes.
Mm, yeah.
That's all them. That's news to me. let me give you a little a tip here. This is something that just occurred to me. You should look for railroad enthusiast musicians because we don't have a big airport, but we have the only railroad station in the state of Idaho.
Correct, Mundo. Yeah.
There you go.
Find somebody who's afraid of flying, doesn't like driving, okay. Loves to take the train.
Tour by train. I like this.
Yeah, whistle stop.
But they don't
tour.
Have too many big concerts in Haver, Montana.
No.
Which is one stop.
That's true.
Before Whitefish or something
like
that. Well,
but this artist that I have in mind, and I don't actually have a name in mind, but this is a person who would just enjoy the journey.
The kind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They wouldn't necessarily be in it for the
destination.
For the destination.
Who was it? John Madden. Didn't John Madden, the football player,
and the broadcaster, you are correct. Yeah.
He only traveled by train.
Uh-huh.
Because he would not fly.
That's right. Mr. T in his character in the A-Team. Did not like to fly.
His fictional character. I will let my programming manager know to start really getting a mm-hmm. beat on which artists exclusively only tour by train that will also do really well in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Yeah.
So looking at mostly people that are maybe performing the night before in Missoula or the night after in Spokane or Seattle or something like that.
Some of them
is that the trail?
Yeah, Seattle. That's the most common, kind of east to west. A lot of times they come to us and they'll say, "Hey, they'll try to create the tour altogether." So a lot of times we're not last and we're just filling a date. Every once in a while we are. Sometimes they want us to be what's called the anchor, where we pay a little more and then they'll fill around us. Because our dates are so limited, it's hard to find a lot of acts. You know, we just hadn't, because we're already booking for 2026, and just had an agent come to us, be like, okay, how about June 20th? We're like, no, as a reminder, we're only 2 weeks. So it makes it more limited, because most artists, when they go out to perform, they're on tour, because it makes the most sense financially for their teams to prep everything for one big tour. So most of the acts, we feel just so grateful that we have them, because they happen to be in the Northwest in our time frame.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of times that people are like, why didn't you book, know, Billy Idol. I'm like, because he's in Prague that week. Like, there's a lot of things that come up that you're like, they have a wedding or they took a family break for the month of July and August or something. Mm-hmm. So when we do get who we get, we always feel very grateful and lucky that we're able to get them into those interesting dates. So when we do book fly dates like Third Eye Blind, it was a Sunday. We just couldn't find anyone that was routed. And so they fly out specifically for us to play.
Sweet.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. So they're going to fly in. Just curious. They're going to fly in. Are they going to fly into Sandpoint on a small plane? Or are they going to fly into Spokane and drive up on a bus?
Typically, it's Spokane.
Yeah.
And typically, we send a Sprinter van and or transportation cars to coordinate with them. Sometimes they'll get their own. The one, you know, great perk that we have being up here is with the fly dates, they're like, oh, Sandpoint's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Maybe we extend or bring family or so that is a piece that sometimes they'll just coordinate their own transportation around it because maybe they want to get in earlier or stay later. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, most of the time it is Spokane. Every once in a while we'll get flights straight into Sandpoint, but that's not very common.
Yeah. Do you, when it's a fly date, when it's somebody who you don't have to coordinate with the whole rest of their tour, do you just say, you know, this is the band we want, here's their asking price, sold? Or is there
oh, I wish it was that easy.
Right. Is there a...
I think that's how it used to be, like, in the 70s and maybe 80s, where they just exchanged money and it was all done.
Right. Because you just mentioned there's a perk to coming to Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to spend some time. And does that go into, like, your pitch to Third Eye Blind? Or does that...
Whether or not they hear it or see it, not sure.
Yeah.
Because we're talking to the agent, who's then talking to their manager, who's then talking to them.
Yeah.
So we send our agents typically, especially if they're not super familiar. A lot of them are. If it's like a newer or different agent that we're working with, we have like a promo packet about our venue. It has photos. It talks about our capacity. It talks about what the green rooms are like. It has pictures of the lake. We try to get all artists out on boats. It just makes everyone happier. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just in a really good mood if they were able to go out and jump in the lake. So we put that in our thing. Like, we try to be great hosts and we love showing off Sandpoint. Whether or not all of them see that, whether or not they already are familiar or not with Sandpoint, I don't always know. There's a lot of times that people say no thanks on the boat, and then within an hour of arriving, they're like, so remember that boating offer? Could we still do that? Because I think as soon as you go across that long bridge, right. I remember the first time I drove across the long bridge, it's kind of magical. And you're like, I would like to be out there.
Yeah.
So
if they're flying, how do they get their equipment here? I mean, they plan that and then they schlep it.
That's a great question. So another thing that people don't realize, I didn't, was that typically then we are responsible for getting all of renting gear that is adequate for them. Mm-hmm. It's called backline. A lot of times when they're on tour, they are bringing all of their backline with them, whether it's certain instruments, whether it's pianos. Pianos are the most common that we'll provide just because they're harder to travel with. So yes, typically if it's a fly date, that's another part of it's expensive to get them there, but then it's also expensive for us to rent. A lot of times we have to get things from Seattle, because they need a certain model of a certain piece of equipment. Most of it, there's certain things that they'll travel with, that they need, or they want their specific guitar or something, but a lot of times we end up having to provide a lot of it.
Interesting.
The sound system, the speakers, the main sound we rent for the whole run, and a lot of the artists can supplement it if they'd like. Same with lights. We have a standard light package, but it's becoming more and more common, especially with the big tours, that the production's getting bigger, whether there's video walls or different cool light things. And so a lot of times tours will bring their own supplemental things that this is how our look is for the entire tour and we want it to look consistent. While fly dates, they'll typically just use what we have on hand.
Interesting.
It is. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. We're talking to Allie Baranski, the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint. And I'm thinking it might be time for us to play a little music before we transition off onto our next topic. We were talking about Community Night, and it's JoJo Dodge is leading off Community Night, or she's one of four artists who are playing that night, which is Wednesday, July 30th, along with The Real McCoy, Brittany's House, Harold's IGA, and then JoJo Dodge. There's there's four. That's four artists.
All four.
Yeah.
$15 tickets.
We'll play one by JoJo. It's called Every Step, and then we'll be back with more, talk about what else is going on at the festival, what they're up to, what's new and different about this year, and et cetera, et cetera. Stay tuned. Here we go. This one's Every Step by JoJo Dodge. JoJo Dodge is the name of that artist. Find her. She's online. You can track her down. It's J-O-J-O, JoJo, and Dodge being the last name. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show. I'm Jack. Carrie's here, and we're sitting here with Allie Baranski, the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint. And what are we... What do we want to talk about now?
Let's talk about food.
Something different.
Who have we got for
something
food,
fun?
Food yeah. court.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, so many. Great question. So we have kind of our standards, Opa and Burger Doc and Felker's Barbecue. This year we have a new charcuterie booth. So there's totally just doing charcuterie boards, which I think could be pretty popular. You can still bring in your own outside food. I know some people, there was some confusion on that, but you can still, so I just want to make sure, like, just because we have charcuterie boards doesn't mean you can't bring your own. Evans Brothers, we have the grilled cheese booth back again, Mountain Food Company, So Gouda Charcuterie is the name of that one. Sweet Treats, so we have just a treats booth. Tacos, Cajun Kettle is back, and You Say Potato. So quite the...
Is there an ice cream booth?
No, not specifically an ice cream booth, but I believe Evans Brothers has had some cool treats, and same with Sweet Treats. I don't remember if they were able to pull off affogatos. I remember one year they did. I'm not going to promise what their menu is this year. I don't want people... I don't want to misrepresent on their behalf. But yeah. So there's lots of food, but to that point, and if in case you have missed it, which I think most people haven't at this point, and Sandpoint is, you can no longer bring in your own outside beverages. That is an insurance thing. We tried to keep it as long as possible, but there's a reason why we were one of the last in the nation to allow outside alcohol to come in particular. So yeah, at the end of the day, it was a multi-year plan, and we were just getting down to very little or none insurance companies who wanted to take us on and cover our operations. So, yeah, unfortunately, no more outside beverages, but that was not something we were looking forward to doing or wanted to do. So it's just unfortunately the nature of the world that we're in, and insurance is getting trickier, especially around alcohol.
Yeah. So. Another change. That caused a big splash. This will be the first year, right?
Yeah.
Without it.
Yeah. This is the first year.
Yeah.
We do have two bars. We had one last year that we tested out, but not everyone knew because they didn't need it. It was just a grab and go bar. So just canned beverages. So if you're not needing a mixed cocktail and want a shorter, faster line, there is, a canned beverage booth on the lakeside of the stage. We also just struggle with where we can put things and where power is, and with the turf and everything. So Grab and Go is on the lakeside of the stage, while our full service bar is on the lakeside of the grandstands. Mm-hmm. And another thing that other people didn't know is we've always sold buckets of ice with, like, if you buy, I don't know, 5 canned beverages or something, you can mm-hmm. actually get it in a bucket of ice to keep it cold. So some people didn't know that we did that. And that's going to be more popular. Mm-hmm. People don't want to mm-hmm. go back in line to buy a bucket, and it can stay on ice and stay cold.
Yeah. that is, this will be a bit of a learning experience, I guess, your sales of beverages are going to be, the demand is going to be much higher than it has been in the past.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We've been prepping. Mm-hmm. Our prices are very comparable to, I guess, like a higher end restaurant in town. They are not comparable to other venues and festivals. Mm-hmm. I just went to a venue in Boise, and it's like $24 for like 8 ounces of a cocktail.
Yeah.
So very comparable. The fact that we still have a full service bar and you can get a lot of different things is very rare for other venues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just, unfortunately, I hate when the reason is insurance. It's not a fun topic. And
yeah.
So did you go to Post Malone?
I did not. I was in Portland, and my sister-in-law went to Post Malone, and Portland did not have a good event, venue-wise. But no, I've just been to enough concerts that the prices are pretty outrageous. That's not the intent. We want to keep, prices very affordable. We have added multiple water refill stations. So you can bring in an empty 32-ounce water bottle. We're not trying to, sell bottled water and create more waste and garbage. We just are having to fulfill our insurance requirements. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I have heard, because, I hear a lot about this this year, is some people were like, well, we're just going to drink a lot before we come.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, turns out, just like in bars,
over-serving.
Our insurance doesn't allow us to allow over-serve people into our venue. Yeah. So not only will you be turned away, you won't get a refund because mm-hmm. it's against our code of conduct. And so I was like, so be mindful. And I've now heard that suggestion a couple of times from people, and I was like, you will get turned away at the gates if you are already overserved. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, okay. Yeah. The festival at Sandpoint, a family affair. let's see, we can run down the lineup, but, maybe before we do, a couple of other, points I think you wanted to make.
Yeah.
You're still looking for, stage crew. Right.
Yeah, we hire mm-hmm. for production crew pretty much up until a couple of weeks ahead of time. So we still have some positions open for production crew. The duration of that is July 17th through August 7th.
Mm-hmm. So if you always wanted to be a roadie, you can consider this kind of as your introduction to being a roadie, right? Uh-huh. Handling all the equipment and
stuff.
Yep,
mm-hmm. you can, or you can find out it's not for you, either or. But it's fun. It's fast paced. It's short term. It's just really cool that we get to give a lot of them are teenagers and or young adults, that we get to give this really cool music industry experience to these kids in rural northern Idaho. A lot of people don't get that kind of experience if they want to go into the music industry or just figure out if they like it at all. So yeah, positions are still open. Applications are on our website at festivalsandpoint.com/careers. And then we also have our application open for volunteers. That's how I got started at the festival. I'm biased, but I think it's one of the coolest volunteer gigs out there. We have positions anywhere from selling merchandise to green team to gates, even production and like helping set up and tear down. And so you can also go on our website, festivalsandpoint.com/volunteer, and fill out an application.
I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if that's better. Oh,
Was that it?
I figured it out.
There we go. Perfect.
Okay. Sorry.
You want a different set of headphones? Mm-hmm. Okay. You're good.
Okay. Okay. Problem solved, folks. That was a little behind the scenes. We did a little technical switcheroo there. And now, doesn't it sound so much better? No, I think I was the only person who could hear that. Okay. Well, you gave the details on the mm-hmm. volunteer. It is, yes, I know a lot of people who have done it for just forever. You do it once and you'll just keep going back year after year.
I mean, it's a cool way to get involved. We are a nonprofit. We would never mm-hmm. be able to exist without volunteers. If we had mm-hmm. to pay everyone, it would be too much. So mm-hmm. we're extremely grateful. We have had anywhere between 300 to 600 unique volunteers a season. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
And it's just, it's fun that, you know, most positions wrap up by the headliner and then you get to go listen to music. And it's another cool way just kind of making music accessible to people in town. You don't always have to buy a ticket. You can just volunteer and help out.
And then you get to go and see some music too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could a useful perk.
Yeah. For,
yes. Hey, yeah. Let's see. Do a quick rundown of the lineup, you suppose. I think I asked you this last time. You, of course, have to be diplomatic, but can you tell us who you are secretly looking forward to the most?
Oh, that is mm-hmm. such a hard question. I am very biased. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for a lot of different ones for a lot of different reasons. Sierra Farrell just won 4 Grammys this mm-hmm. winter. I think she's kind of the cutting edge, cool, up and coming artist that I think is we're going to be very grateful that we got her when we did. I don't think we would be able to afford her in a year or two. Mm. So from that perspective, I'm really excited for her. She's extremely talented. I think Neon Trees is going to be a really fun, family friendly, kind of upbeat opening night. I mean, nostalgia-wise, there's quite a bit of nostalgia this year. Third Eye Blind, Selfishly, I think just kind of brings me back to a time in my life when music was very important. Mm-hmm. I have older brothers, so some of that alt rock was, I think, of my family and a certain time in my life. I mean, mm-hmm. Kansas, that's you. Just, I think See, you can't ask me this question because I'm just going to keep rambling them off. Brothers Osborne's going to be amazing. Dispatch is like a whole nother hour of music. We're opening gates a whole hour early because there's 4 artists on that night.
Yeah. All of them, I would say, like at least in the Peterson household, these are household names. Mm-hmm. You got Dispatch, of course, is the headliner, but John Butler is another excellent artist. You'll hear him sprinkled into Otto's Eclectic Mix. G Love and Special Sauce also playing that night. And then Donovan Frankenreiter. All of these.
And some of them have been here before too.
Indeed. So. Yeah. And they're all playing on one night. That's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Do you want to do the day by day what the playing before we sign off here?
We have Neon Trees with Kyle Kelly on Thursday, July 24th. Sierra Farrell with the Broody Brothers on Friday, July 25th. Toad the Wet Sprocket with the Jayhawks and Sixpence None the Richer on Saturday, July 26th. Third Eye Blind with Snacks at Midnight on Sunday, July 27th. Brothers Community Night.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Community mm-hmm. Night. July 30th with JoJo Dodge, Brittany's House, Harold's IGA, and The Real McCoy. Brothers Osborne on Thursday, July 31st. We have yet to have an opener for that one, so keep your eyes out. They still are hopefully selecting there, so we will see. Mm-hmm. Kansas with Vika and the Velvets on Friday, August 1st. Dispatch with John Butler, with band, joined by G Love Special Sauce and Donovan Frankenreiter on Saturday, August 2nd. And then as our grand finale, we have our Sounds of Summer, which is a symphonic show this year highlighting the 4 seasons of Vivaldi, just spring and summer portion, as well as other pieces. And all of this kind of started because it was the, I want to say, 400th anniversary of the Four Seasons by Vivaldi. So back to our roots, very much a classical symphonic evening for our grand finale, which also includes Cheers, used to be called Taste of the Stars, with our wine, beer, and spirits tasting.
Mm-hmm. That's coming back. I thought it was cool when you guys did the movies, but I'm excited to see just a concert performance.
Me too.
Yeah. That's going to be nice. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that one is better than the other, but I personally am excited for that. I've always liked going to see that,
symphony,
that grand finale.
Yeah. Yep.
And like I don't
big powerful chords towards the end, and then the fireworks start. Mm-hmm. So.
And Vivaldi, the Four Seasons. I think the only one I'm really familiar with is Spring. I don't know if I know what summer is. You'll get to hear that one. We're gonna find out.
You'll find out.
Uh huh.
So, Allie, do artists ever request to come back again? Like,
yeah.
I had a great experience, and I want to go back to Sandpoint. Does that happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep, it does. There's some that want to always come back, but we can't, you know, with so few dates, we can't just have the same repeaters every time. But yeah, there are some that want to come back or kind of fall in love with Sandpoint or have extended trips when they didn't plan to extend trips. And so it is fun to be able to expose people and introduce people to Sandpoint at that level.
The concert series runs the last week of July 24th through August 3rd. Mm-hmm. And, this is the highlight of the Festival of Sandpoint's year. Festival, of course, is all around us at all times with, working on your other, the nonprofit portion of your work in the community. Like I think you mentioned before we turned on the mics that you still have instruments available for the summer.
Our free instrument library. So we typically check out instruments for the school year, and then there's the summer season where people can check out for the summer. Mm-hmm. It's completely free. It doesn't have to be for students. We have strings, woodwinds, brass instruments, even, you know, electric guitars. So I think last I checked, we had over 60 instruments that we have, cellos, upright basses. So that's been a fun part of what we do. And we also get a lot of donations of instruments. I know my flute had not been played in over 20 years. And so I brought my flute in and now it goes out and kids play it and it's great. And so, either if you're interested in trying out an instrument or renting an instrument, check us out first because, we just take a deposit just to make sure we see the instrument again and you get the deposit back at the end. So it's completely free. And it's good for kids to try out if they, you know, my bass guitar is also in there cause I bought it. And then I realized I was a guitar player, not a bassist. So you don't have to invest in an instrument. You can just try it out with our free library.
Cool. Hey, anything else before we, just move on to other events coming up for the 4th of July weekend and talk to our friends at, the Panada Theater. I see, Brendan is out there waiting in the wings. Anything else you want to make sure we mention?
Just next week will be the poster unveiling. Yes, the 2025 Fine Arts poster by Perky Smith Hagedon.
So what have I been looking at so far when I look around and I see that you have...
Great question.
You know, marketing materials out there.
So that is our lineup poster versus our fine arts poster. Our lineup poster has now become, when we do get submissions for our fine arts poster, we're also getting graphic design submissions specifically from students for our lineup poster. So that one, her name is Grace, and we selected her, and so she actually gets a scholarship. And then we use that poster for our lineup and put text all over it, and it's on the fancy truck that you will see tomorrow in the 4th of July parade. But the fine arts poster, we wait and we unveil that at our sponsor appreciation event. And then it goes out to the media that night next morning. So we're really excited. It's quite the highlight, I think, kind of waiting to see what it is. And the fact that it's a competition now makes it even cooler.
Yeah. Can the public attend that? Or is that just for board?
Just sponsors at the actual unveiling, but a lot of times we'll live stream it and we'll post it, and then it goes out within like 12 hours typically. And then it goes back to the festival office, and it's at the festival office until the festival itself, where it moves to the festival. The night that it's unveiled, so next Tuesday, is when the auction portion of it opens, so people can bid on it, and it's a fundraiser for the festival as a nonprofit. So,
I think there's going to be some monarch butterflies in it.
Since is that
Perky's,
right?
Perky's thing is monarch butterflies.
Okay.
You'll have to wait and see.
Okay. We're gonna play a little dispatch here as we welcome. Coming up next is Brendan McCoy.
Not McCoy is here.
Right. No, not Brendan McCoy. Brendan Kelty. Brendan Kelty Naples is here from the Panada Theater. And Allie Baranski, thanks for spending so much time
Thank
with us
you,
this
Allie.
Morning.
That was really interesting. Me.
Talking about the festival, it is interesting indeed. One of the more unique aspects of mm-hmm. Sandpoint, I mm-hmm. think. A lot of places don't have a festival. That'd be one way of putting that, I guess. A lot of places don't have a festival. we are one of the few that does.
Yep.
Okay. Here's Dispatch back in just a second with Brendan from the Panada Theater and talking about 4th of July, et cetera, et cetera.
Long hair and longer stride. Skateboard affair with the primal tribe. And you cut off painted pants, charging down the craggy mountains with our thrift store friends. And who you find so in love with a fallen earth? Oh, you wake in the middle of the fallen night with the summer playing coy. And in the attics of the city night, we talked Corso and the MC5, and you could dance like we were all alright. And all you wild ones, give you something and never want it back. Oh, the riot and the rush of the warm night.
You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. That band is called Dispatch. That was Only the Wild Ones. Let's see here. And we are talking about, I guess we're talking about upcoming events now, aren't we? Wouldn't that be the appropriate thing to talk about? Let's see. Turn on microphone number 4 now. That's where Brendan is sitting. And I'm going to pull up the Sandpoint Online events calendar. Well, I guess, Brendan, you can dive into what's going on at the Panada Theater, where you are currently employed, sir.
Well, that sounds good, Jack.
Okay. What's going on this weekend at the Panada?
Well, first of all, good morning. I just met Carrie for the first time.
Yeah.
Just want to let you all know that this weekend we're kicking off a movie series, $5 movie series.
Mm-hmm.
Out of This World, all about space and aliens.
Ooh.
Yeah. So okay. $5 movies kick off this Saturday with Independence Day. Mm-hmm. You might remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Can't miss it. And little backpedal. We've got a board meeting. We are a community theater.
Uh-huh.
So we've got a board meeting this evening in case you wanted to relay your input on things going on at the theater.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so back to the movie series. We've got Independence Day.
Yeah.
And then later on, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Nice.
After that, Alien.
Yeah.
And Arrival in August.
Cool.
So all of that is sponsored by Naples Wealth Management. And yeah. And then, of course, we've got our Pride series going on as well.
Yes.
One film left in that one, and that's called Transamerica.
Okay.
Next Thursday. And we've got a bunch of great sponsors there, too.
Uh-huh.
Evans Brothers, Dems of Bonner County, Le Chic Boutique, Planned Parenthood of Greater Washington, North Idaho.
Okay. Let's see here. Independence Day, I had that on video cassette back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I went and saw it in the movie theater. So this will be a first for me. That could be fun. One of those really big, you know, really big event type movies. The big, you know, I definitely remember the marketing of the film where they're, you know, they're blowing up famous landmarks as the aliens arrive.
It was huge.
Yeah,
it was a huge film.
It was, and you had Will Smith at the height of his fame, I would say, was right in there, and and then Jeff Goldblum was just coming off Jurassic Park. What a 90s he had.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
He's back though, you know.
Well, Goldblum never went away. Right. Yeah, he's always been, but he yeah. But
Will Smith, a little different trajectory.
He's been.
Jeff didn't assault anybody on live television.
No. Right. Slap him.
Yeah. Right. It's interesting that Jeff Goldblum was like a major action star for a few years in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, considering the character who we kind of know him to be today, who he's kind of aged into. And then also even considering like his 1980s, that wasn't what you would have predicted for him. But there you go.
What was the movie he was in with all the friends who get together for the funeral?
That's The Big Chill, Carrie.
Thank you.
The film you're thinking of.
Thank you.
It's a good one.
Yes, it's a wonderful movie.
I like that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the most important things that, in my opinion, that we got going on, at least in July, is the theater camp.
Oh, kids. I've seen it advertised. Yeah.
And it's just we had our first inaugural last year, and 3-week camp starting July 21st. And it's a partnership with POAC, Ponderay Arts Council, the Panada, and LPORT, Lake Ponderay Repertory Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 3-week camp. The kids absolutely love this thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be instructed by Liz Iha, who's a fantastic instructor. She's done some theater work with kids in the past, I should say a lot. And the camp goes every weekday from July 21st through August 8th. And it culminates in 2 performances, one on August 8th, one on August 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just about 3/4 sold on that one.
Okay.
And what's the age range you're taking?
8 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so don't miss it. They're learning everything from costume creation, blocking, writing, to breathing exercises, to acting, to lights, to sound. So it's a very cool, comprehensive kind of camp for these guys. Very, you know, very fun, but also informative for them too.
Yeah. How much time how much time are you taking up of their day / week?
1 to 4 each day.
Uh-huh.
So 1 to 4 p.m. each day, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Do people sign up for that?
Go to Panada. .org/events,
uh-huh.
And you'll see a link for the registration for the camp only. The performances on August 8th and August 9th will be a separate link, but for now, we only have the camp registration open.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to point out a couple of other events. Tomorrow is Independence Day. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderay, by the way, and it is 9 o'clock, meaning we're just about out of time. Actually, we are officially out of time here on the morning show, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that later on today, Viggo Mortensen's going to be here. He's going to be DJing a 2-hour set in the middle of the day, 1 to 3 p.m. So he will be selecting tunes and providing a little commentary on what he plays. I think what he mentioned was some of the stuff is kind of the things that he was listening to when he first moved to town, but also I think what he's listening to now, what's fresh.
Well, it's nice he's got something to add to his resume.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of an up and comer. Jack, do you have any idea what genres we might expect for that one?
I have seen the playlist and it is eclectic, I will say.
As his movies are.
Exactly. As Otto's eclectic mix always is. You will enjoy hearing what he plays, I think. I'm going to say right now, this is something that just occurred to me, I think, last night. I was thinking, if you can listen to it either streaming or on the FM radio, please use your radio and leave some space, leave some bandwidth for the rest of us to listen on the web stream. If you are, somebody within our
radio, I will listen to it on the radio.
There you go.
If you can listen to it
over the broadcast, I encourage you to listen to it on FM 88.5 because it's gonna. I think we're gonna have a lot of people trying to tune in and hear the web stream, and we want to make sure everybody who wants to hear it can hear it.
And it's 1 to 3.
That is correct.
Okay.
1 to 3. And stay tuned for CP at 3 o'clock, too.
Yep.
It's the 4th of July tomorrow. It's Independence Day. A couple of quick notes. Here on this radio station, we'll be also taking over Otto's Eclectic Mix. More eclectic music. This time, we're going to be focusing on the 50 states. It's the KRFY Salute to the 50 States is tomorrow, starting right after the 4th of July parade here in town, which is at 10 o'clock in the morning. The kids' parade is at 9:30. The children's parade. It says here the children's parade begins at 9 a.m. I think it begins at 9:30, but maybe you want to be safe and go ask the Lions Club about that. They are the ones who manage the parade. Yeah. Is my boy going to be in it? I don't know.
Put him in a wagon and give him a flag.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The grand parade starts at 10 a.m. Let's see. If we do get rain tomorrow, it's not supposed to be during those parade hours, I think. So we will probably have a good turnout for that. We just talked to Allie from the festival at Sandpoint. She said they're going to be in the parade, as they always are. Is the Panada going to be there?
Not this year. Panada is going to be handing out popcorn in front of
you. There will be popcorn available at the Panada Theater. Okay.
Really good popcorn.
Yeah.
Not just any popcorn. Really good popcorn.
Panada.
Not out of the big plastic bags.
Okay.
Made popcorn.
That's right. On the spot.
Let's see here. We have this is next to the parade, along for the ride, is a small table. There will be a small table set up after the parade, near the announcer's platform. And that is, you'll hear some patriotic songs sung by Maria Walden, Patty Clemens, Jody Spade, and Ruth Martin. Barrel 33 has a 4th of July party Barrel 33. Three open at 11 a.m. until after the fireworks show. The 4th of July Family Fun Festival in Priest River features a mechanical bull, a dunk tank, striker plate, bounce house, axe throwing, and more. That's out in Priest River from noon to 4 p.m.
Fork always has their parade.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Clark Fork. Supposed to be a good one.
To be a really good one.
I'm always at the Sandpoint Parade.
Me too.
I wouldn't know. Wouldn't be able to say firsthand.
Exactly.
Let's see. Right Front Burners playing on Independence Day. RFB is at the 219 on the 4th of July. Yeah.
At 9?
That's correct.
Were they doing the earlier thing?
9 p.m. 9 o'clock p.m. at the 219. And then over in Garfield Bay, you could, if you wanted to, go to a pancake breakfast from 8 to 10 a.m. Their parade starts at 10:30 a.m. At noon is an ice cream social. And I love an ice cream social. Mm-hmm. And then a cornhole tournament and live music from 6 to 9 p.m. That's Garfield Bay. There are more events coming up all weekend long. Mentioned that Mike Wagner and Sadie Cecilia are playing at the Pondere Winery on the 5th. Bright Moments Jazz is playing all around Arlo's. And yes?
I think Bayview has their fireworks on Saturday the 5th. It's always the Saturday.
They always do it. Yes, they don't do it on the 4th. Let you catch it on the weekend.
It's always on a Saturday, I think. And I think it's the 5th. And those are spectacular.
I have been to.
Yes.
Because you can...
They're good.
Yeah, it's awfully nice that they do that because you can...
You can take in both.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can go see the fireworks in Sandpoint and then go down and see the ones in Bayview and you can compare and contrast. Who did it better? okay. Well, we're well over time here, folks. I got to get into Otto's Eclectic Mix. Anything else?
But it
else?
Was very important conversation. Point.
Yes.
Point.
Yes. Yes. It was. Yes. Brendan, you look like you have something on your mind.
I don't know if this fits your flow here, Jack, but for all those parents out there, check out the library's events. There's a lot going on. And the great folks at the East Bonner County Library are doing some great programming. You want to get your kids in some AC for a few hours each day? Check them out.
A little plug for the East Bonner County Library.
Love our library.
Yeah.
Love
I think they're doing, it's not this week because it's because of the holiday. Well, and also it's not, that would be in the past, but I think next week they're back with their Tales and Trails program up at the, it's run by the library, but it takes place in the Pine Street Woods, partnership with the Kinnick-Sue Land Trust. And you can, instead of going to story time at the library, you go story time out in the woods. Sounds pretty cool. Okay, here we go. Time for Bird Note. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your patience, birders. Don't you worry. We've got Bird Note. What is a birder? With Rosemary Mosco is the subject of this morning's episode. See you all at 1 p.m. for the big DJ set by Viggo Mortensen.